those of you who have not had the opportunity to attend the Warren County Bar Association's annual dinners will soon know how much you have missed over the years. For a tribute to Judge Gibson from a lawyer's point of view by an extraordinary orator, I present Mr. Fred Bascom. Judge Harvey, Judge Gibson, honorable judges, ladies, and learned friends, it is a great privilege for me to be called upon to speak in this distinguished company on this momentous occasion while we are gathered together to pay tribute, well-deserved tribute, to our good friend Judge James Gibson. Almost 50 years have passed since in the courthouse at Hudson Falls, I noticed behind the rail a figure which was then unfamiliar to me, that of a quiet, unassuming young man whom I had never seen in court before. When I inquired who he was, I was told that was James Gibson, who had come over to Hudson Falls from the historic town of Salem, the cradle of judges, to begin practice with the firm of Rogers and Sawyer, then one of the leading firms in our part of the country. Erskine C. Rogers ascended the Supreme Court and the firm became known as Sawyer and Gibson. John Sawyer, one of the stern, unbending type of the old school, who believed that there is no substitute for learning and no alternative to integrity, passed from the scene and Jim Gibson was on his own. He soon proved the quality of his training. Observers took note that he was well able to take care of himself. He found time in the midst of a busy practice to engage in public affairs and became secretary of the Republican County Committee. There was an old war horse who had been district attorney and wanted to continue to be district attorney, who was accustomed to bowl over anybody who stood in his path, and Jim Gibson took him on and bowled him over. From that time on, his rise was uninterrupted. To the Supreme Court, to the Appellate Division, to the Court of Appeal. All as our thoughtful committee has outlined for you on the program. In ancient days, going back the Bible time, when some subject attained particular eminence and found favor in the sight of the king, The king commanded that he be clothed in scarlet, and that a gold chain be hung about his neck, and that he be mounted on a white horse and led through the streets, preceded by a clear voice herald proclaiming, "Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Times have changed. Sovereignty is passed from the monarch to the people. New forms and customs have arisen, and nowadays, when we wish to pay particular tribute to a man who has attained eminence, we give him a dinner. Five years ago, we honored Judge Gibson in this fashion up in Glens Falls on the occasion of his retirement from the Court of Appeals by reason of the constitutional age limit. But Judge Gibson could not retire. The judicial system of our state demanded his continued presence, and the Court of Appeals, with unerring wisdom, certified him as sana mens in corpore sano. Willingly and with alacrity, Judge Gibson began to ease the burden of special term, to dispose of the non-jury cases, and in the words of Cardozo, to mold the plastic remedies of the chancery to the needs of justice. And so we come here tonight to pay deserved tribute to Judge Gibson. We have no white horse for him to ride on, no scarlet cloak to wrap around him, no chain of gold to hang about his neck, but we do have clear voice heralds, of whom I am happy to be one, to proclaim his greatness throughout the land.
Our dear friend and respected member, Frederick G. Fassman, healthy and active, so that he may be with us for many, many years to come. Gentlemen, I give you Fassman.
Ago, when Aristotle, Hercules, Demosthenes, Socrates, Bacchus called me on the telephone and asked me to speak here tonight, I thoughtlessly assented to the proposal. No sooner had I done so than I regretted it. What could I possibly have to say on this occasion, on the subject of Christmas? What could I add to the wealth of poetry and song, to the pageantry and the panoply and the imagery that has accumulated over the years with regard to Christmas. And then I was further dismayed when I received the announcement of this dinner. And it said that Frederick G. Bascom would speak and there would be other funnies.
I was hoping you didn't see it, Frederick.
But I happen to think of a subject of a speech that I might make appropriate to Christmas. It's true that it is a subject upon which I spoke at a meeting corresponding to this several years ago. An occasion of particular interest to the people of Warren County. It was during the time when Richard Milhouse Nixon was in the White House. And at that time, and maybe it is still the custom, for some spot in the United States to be selected to deliver a Christmas tree to the national capital, to be erected in the shadow of the White House and the Washington Monument, and at the proper moment illuminated for all the world to see and rejoice in the spirit of Christmas. And it so happened that year the honor fell to Warren County to furnish the Christmas tree to be sent down to Washington. And a committee of expert woodsmen and arborealists was appointed to range the forests of Warren County and find the Christmas tree upon which this great honor would be conferred. And after a diligent search, a tree was selected down here in Crandall Park, a mighty monarch of the forest, pyramidal in shape, symmetrical, with just the right shade of emerald green. And with appropriate ceremonies, that tree was cut down and loaded onto a truck and transported to Washington, accompanied by a platoon of state troopers and a committee from Warren County to see that it arrived safely in the national capital. And throughout its journey, messages were received daily as to its progress. And at last it arrived and was duly erected in the shadow of the White House and the Washington Monument. And the time was appointed when the President of the United States, Richard M. Nixon, would press the button to illuminate this beautiful tree from our county of Warren. And the ceremonies were to be broadcast by television. And that night, 30,000 eyes in Warren County were glued to the television screen. And the eminent men of the Capitol were gathered together with the President of the United States, and the Congressman, our representative in Congress, was there. The camera was on the President. The President had his eye on this beautiful Christmas tree from Warren County. And at the appropriate moment, he pressed the button and the tree was illuminated, a glorious symbol of the Christmas season. And all eyes were on the President as he rose to speak. And the President fixed his eye upon this beautiful Warren County tree. And he opened his mouth. And we all listened intently. And what did he say? He said how happy and proud he was to see this gorgeous Christmas tree there in the capital of the United States, brought there from his father's birthplace in Warren County, Ohio. And I want to tell you that there were thousands in Warren County, New York that night who were ready to impeach Nixon on the spot. To impeach him for malfeasance and nonfeasance and misfeasance in office. To impeach him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Warren County, Ohio, indeed. The birthplace of his father, forsooth. Never a word about Warren County, New York, where brave men and beautiful women and beautiful Christmas trees were raised long before Ohio was converted from a wilderness. Never was there such a letdown for the people of Warren County. Never before had their interest been betrayed in that manner. And I hesitated to bring this subject before you to dampen the ardor of Christmas. But I want you to remember that Warren County, New York, has gone on since then undismayed. And I trust we are fully prepared to enjoy the Christmas season in spite of that tragic occurrence during the administration of Richard Nixon. I don't know what other funnies Aristotle, Demosthenes, Hercules, Achilles, Socrates, Bacchus may have provided for you. But whatever they are, I join in wishing you all a very happy, merry Christmas and happy New Year.